Easier and easier every time I come up here. I'm just kidding. That's some drugs. You guys, I'll go ahead and let you mark your places. Go ahead and turn to Romans 1:21. Before we get started, I wanted to tell you guys something. Something most of you already know as parents. But kids say the darndest things. And, of course, you all know Colton. And it was a couple weeks ago, he left Sunday school. And I was asking Colton, so what did you learn in Sunday school? Because he's with Miss Gale. And I said, what did you learn? I was trying to figure out. He started telling me what he learned. It sounded like he was really thorough, and he was picking up a lot. So let's give her a hand to do a good job. And, but just the way I work in my family, I wanted to dig more out of Colton. I wanted to see him get a little bit more fired up. I said, man, what bothers you? What gets you inside? And let me tell you something. My son went from an 8-year-old to a full-grown preacher in my car. He turned sideways, and he started slamming that fist in that hand. And I don't know what all he said, but when he got done, he ended with, dark and crooked world. And I was like, wow, where did that come from? I don't know what he said. I don't know what I said. He went off there for a few minutes. And I'm sure it was God-given, and he had to preach that to me. Because that's part of that's my message tonight. And I hung on with he said, crooked and dark world. And it led me to ask him some questions. I stirred on that and thought about it for a while. And why are people crooked and dark? And where do we find the light in this world? And that led me to Romans 1:21. Everybody stand with me. We'll read, stand in reverence. We'll read the word. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank You tonight for the opportunity to gather in Your house and learn from Your Word. Lord, I pray that You give me the strength and the power to preach this message in the way that You want it to be preached. May Your will be done in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's a rough group of people Paul's talking about right there. Sounds rough, but I think we can all admit that we all know these groups of people. We know parts of the world, we know parts of America, we know parts of our neighborhood, we know parts of places in our school, but people are just like this. First thing I wanted to point your attention to, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. It says God gave them up. God did. God gave them up. Now there may be some of you, John, Brother Jamie, I know you've been preaching very long, but God don't give people up. He suffered. He's long-suffering, and that no one should perish. But I'm reading from you right here, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up. I know you guys know the story of Job, where God tells Satan, says, consider my servant. Do what you want to, but don't kill him. God put his hands around Job. God gave Satan restrictions. Certain things that Satan can't do, lines he can't cross. And it was that he couldn't be killed. He could even harm his body. But he didn't want him to die. When God gives someone up, those hands are gone. Those hands are God's restraining grace. What He will allow to happen to you, Greg, Well, why would it happen to you, Brother Godman? That's those hands around you, whatever he lets crack through, that's the only thing that's going to get through. And it's just to teach you or help you learn a lesson. But when God gives you up, the hands go away. And you're turned loose, and Satan's turned loose to do what he will. I was trying to think. I had trouble with that because I just looked over it and I just wasn't sure about God giving someone up. And I thought of this analogy. And I thought about a doctor who is prescribing their patients pain medication for pain they're going through. And the first time they're like, hey, here's your pain meds. I want you to come back and see me in 30 days. Well, in 25 days, guy comes back and says, hey, doc, I'm out of pain pills. I need some help. The doctor's like, well, be another 5 days. He's like, well, you just don't know how much pain I was in. It's a little bit extra. I take an extra pill or two and just something I had to do. And the doctor's like, I understand. Don't let it be again this next time. 30 more days, come back and see me. And then 20 days, guy comes back. Doc, had a stitch opened up, also sprained my ankle, and just stuff happens. It's like, listen, you're abusing this medicine. You're abusing me right now. Don't let this happen again. Guy comes back again. The doctor's got to get rid of this guy. Because he's dishonoring the doctor's reputation. He's dishonoring the doctor's name. He can't continue to practice. He's got to get rid of him. And those who dishonor God are giving up so they can just dishonor themselves. He won't have it. He won't have them dishonoring. That's what God's here for. He wants to be honored. He wants to be glorified. He wants to be lifted up. And if we're going to use His name, we're going to drag Him around, He'll give us up. And that's part of the dark and crooked world I think Colton was talking about. As people knowing who God is and refusing to recognize and acknowledge Him as He is. And God gives them up to do what they want to do. Look at with me, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Change the truth. Changing the truth is easy. I know we got teachers in here. This isn't a hard math problem, but 1 times 1 is... It's 1. Truth times a truth is truth. Truth multiplied by itself is truth. This Bible multiplied by itself is just this Bible. It's more truth. It's nothing different. And it's so easy to live a lie, to have lies infecting in this world, because the truth times any lie. How many lies are in the world? They're infinite number, right? So there's infinite lies. There's infinite possibilities. Someone could read this Bible to you, standing right here today, read this Bible to you, read you all this truth, and at the end, say one lie. And I've changed the truth of God. And I can do that over and over and over and over. And it's no wonder people don't know what's going on, because they don't choose to read it for themselves. They let men stand before them and tell them what they want to hear. If I don't speak what they want to hear, they'll probably leave here. Probably find another place to listen to somebody. And it says that they worship the creature more than the Creator. We see that all the time. We see people who follow TV stars, movie stars, preachers. We see those big mega churches where the preacher's out there preaching the prosperity gospel about how God's meant to glorify you. And people are into that. They're so much into that. And let me, a good example. I'm going to get thrown off the pulpit right here. How many of you guys will not miss a Cats game this year? When it comes on, you'll either TiVo it, you'll find a way, you will watch that game. You will not miss it. You might miss it live, but you will not miss the game. A couple of you. How many of you guys might miss reading your Proverbs for 10 minutes in the morning? So I thought. Sometimes we worship and we pay attention, and we're more concerned with the creatures of this world, with the movie stars, with the preacher man, or with the the singers or the sports players than we are what's in this book and what's up there in heaven. And we've got to focus on that. And it's no wonder, guys. It's no wonder that's why people are in the darkness. It's no wonder because they're self-serving and they're fed lies. And it's a dark and crooked world to me. The scripture in Job 21:14 says, "Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways." That's not unique to Job. We hear that all the time, guys. We hear that everywhere we go, that people say, "I don't want to know about God." And how are we surprised that we live in a dark and crooked world? So, what is the remedy to darkness? What is the darkness's natural enemy? Light. Light. Do you know that darkness cannot define itself? Darkness, by definition, is its absence of light or deficiency of light. You can't go out and measure darkness. What you're measuring is light and how much there's not any of. Okay? I don't remember how old it was. Anyway, I'm not a reader, but one time in my life I picked up a Reader's Digest. And there's stories in the back of the book, and I happened to read this story, and I read it, and I had it in my head, and I've wondered my whole life when I'd ever tell the story to somebody. And I've got an occasion right now. But there was a man, and he was the owner of a dime store. And it was a chain of dime stores. They sold trinkets and bells and just pencils, erasers, just all the odd and ends, little small stuff, kind of like a Dollar Tree, I guess. And it was a chain store. And he was dying, and this guy was on his deathbed, and he wanted to give this business and all its money to one of his sons. He wanted to give it to a son that was most worthy, that resembled him, that resembled his values. And so he had a test. To keep them all on fair test, he said, "I want you to take a dollar, and I want you to go out and I want you to buy something, and I want you to fill this room that where I'm in, from top to bottom, with something, just for a dollar." So the boys went out. The first son come back, and he had feathers in his pockets. He pulled them out, flipped them all over the room, he turned the fan on, and they got to whirling around. They never filled the room. This made a mess. Couldn't breathe, spitting them out of their mouth. The next son came in. He had balloons. He had 50 balloons. Blew them all up. Got the balloons about knee high in the room, and he was out of balloons. The last son came in and said, "Dad, when you gave him this project, I didn't know what to do. So I went to church that night, and I prayed about it. I took 50 cents of that dollar, and I put it on the offering plate. And I knew what I needed to do. I took the other 50 cents and I went down to that dime store that you started on Main Street when you and Mom first got married, before us kids were born. I went in there and I bought a candle and a book of matches." The boy went over and flipped the light switch, struck the match, and lit the candle. And darkness went away from the room and the light filled the whole room. The son glorified his father right there with the action. With the light he brought in there, with the way he handled it, the son glorified his dad. Like I said, that was in the Reader's Digest. I have no idea why that story's there. But I never thought of a more fitting occasion to tell that than just then. But light always conquers the dark. And it was set up from the beginning that way. In John 1:5 it says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That's the way Jesus said, that's the way it was set up from the beginning of time. That light would always conquer darkness. Okay? So, where can we find this light? There's three things right here, and we're going to finish up. Okay? Turn with me to Matthew 5:14. And we're going to stay right here until we finish. Matthew 5:14. Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Ye, it says. I don't know what your Bible, in my Bible it's written in red. Jesus is saying that. We know Jesus is the light, but Jesus is talking to His disciples right there, and He says, ye are the light of the world. You, thieves. You, Brother God. You, Jack. You, Sarah. You are the light of the world. He doesn't say that you will be. He doesn't say you will become. He says that you are. Okay? You are the light of the world. You've got to get a hold of that. You've got to know that inside of you, there is a light. That God has placed that in you. When you're born as a new creature, there's a light inside of you, and you have to let that shine. You've been set on a hill in an exalted position so people can see you. Okay, I didn't say that. God, Jesus says this. You are on a hill. You are something that the world is looking to for guidance as a light. You cannot hide that, guys. It takes effort to hide that. You see this in the next verse. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. It takes effort. You have to try to hide light. When I was in the military at nighttime, if you were caught smoking a cigarette or had a little fire, you were in deep trouble because light can be seen far, far, far off by the enemy. And you had to go through great, great lengths to try to hide a simple cherry red ember of a cigarette. Light doesn't want to hide itself. Light shines out. In this church, each one of you are a light. When you come in here, you add your light to a great candlestick. And all of us cumulatively. When anybody goes out looking for a spotlight, what is the measurement that you're looking for on the side of that box? I was a coon hunter, and anytime I was looking for a good spotlight, it was rated by candle power. How much candle power it has. Sometimes I wonder what it would be like if outside on our church signs, if it said how much candle power our church had. How much light we were putting out. How much effort, how much work we were doing. Do you know cumulatively, as a group, how much we can do? Do you know that together, when we go out, we could go out and we could leave this place. Shining light here, being light inside here isn't enough, guys. It doesn't do anything. We're filled with light. We got Jesus Christ. We know. We see it. But when you go out, we've got to extinguish the darkness that's on the edge of Danville. That's in our schools. It's in the projects. All these places are filled with darkness. And they just need somebody. Somebody to come in there and illuminate those areas. Who better than we? Who better? Verse 16 says, let your light shine so before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You have to let your light shine, guys. It's not a pride thing. It has nothing to do with pride. And in fact, by being humble, by being meek, by doing all the Beatitudes, we shine the brightest. That's how we shine the brightest. We have to illuminate and eliminate darkness that we come in contact with. And last but not least, we do it to glorify God. Amen. What we do, the work we do here on this earth, we're not saved by works. Listen, we all know that. We know that works does not save us. But works is how we show what we believe in.
Right. Amen.
That's how we show our faith to the world. Otherwise, it's just a book of rules, and it's a dead faith. Let me close with this. The other day, like Tuesday or something, we were running a service at work, electric service into a garage, and on the outside it's $500,000 home, and there was these big ornamental lights that are hanging on each side of the garage.
And they're bronze looking, have big acorn gloves. They're beautiful, beautiful. And normally I don't know stuff like that, but I know stuff like that. And the guy I was working with, he's an electrician. He's doing lights and putting stalls, stuff like that, on, in the evenings. And I said, "Hey, Richard, how much do those cost?" He said, "They cost a lot, but they don't put out very much light." So what? He said, "They cost a lot, but they don't put out very much light." Friends, every one of you in here costed the blood of Jesus Christ. You were bought with the most expensive price that's ever been paid. The most expensive ransom there ever has been in this world. And if expense told how much light you put out, the sun would have nothing on you. You understand? If it was about how much it costed, you would outshine the sun. Because there's nothing more expensive in this universe than Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you today, Brian, you get up here. Or give invitation. Maybe there's some people here today that have avoided some people or maybe some situations that looks dark and looks hopeless. But maybe you realize after what we'll talk about tonight that there will never be any light in that situation unless you enter back into it. Unless you come in contact with those people, unless you talk to those people, unless you come in that situation, it will never get better. That those people need your presence. Maybe somebody in here today realizes that Jesus did pay a high price for you. A very high price for you. And you haven't accepted that payment. You haven't said, "Jesus, I accept what you've done for me." But you come up here today in this invitation.
Voice singing. Page 137. Turn your eyes upon